I want to speak on being lion-hearted. Now, actually, there is actually a definition for that word, and it means that at the bottom you'll see it if you can. It means to be exceptionally courageous or brave. That's what lion-hearted means. And last week, Jankor preached on various things, but one of the things at the end, and we also dealt with that in small groups, is that God wants us to act as the king in our house or in the area of where we have influence, if you're a husband in your family, and the king has got the authority, and the king decrees things, meaning the king does not ask for stuff to happen. He says this is going to happen, and then he implements it. Amen. So I want to just follow up on that a little bit. And as we prayed during intercession this week, we also, lots of these things came across, so I just wanted to be obedient and share on it. So God wants us to be exceptionally courageous or brave, lion-hearted. Amen. Who of you have seen the movie Lion King? Hello? Okay, you saw it. What's that lion's name? Mufasa. Then there's the other bad one. What's his name? Scar. Okay, let's look at Scar first. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9. The enemy also wants to be like a lion. And maybe you're experiencing that this morning, that he wants to just come at you and destroy. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. But we're going to deal with that. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Doesn't say he's a roaring lion, it says he tries to be like one. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So this scripture here says that we must be sober and we must be alert. And nowadays, in some denominational churches, they are now even going as far as debating whether or not the devil exists. Now, if you get to that point in whatever religious walk you are, you're not a Christian anymore. If you start doubting that, I'm sorry to say, but Jesus spoke about the enemy. And we're not enemy-focused and devil-focused and all of that, but we must understand that there is something like the devil. Okay? And Jesus spoke about it, so if Jesus believes in it, then we should believe in the devil. And yes, we're not looking for the devil around every bush, like some people say. But it is important to notice that he walks around like a lion. So, and I don't know if you've encountered a lion, at least we have some lions in Namibia. We even have lions there in the north on the beach. Some friend of Heidi's parents took a photo of a lion on the beach. Don't worry, it's not, if you're from overseas, it doesn't happen around Swakop, okay? So you can go and have a nice braai barbecue on the beach, but actually we have lions. But if you look at a lion is out there to kill some prey because he needs to eat. Now, if that little antelope, whatever he's hunting, is weak, doesn't make a difference, does it? Does the lion go for the strongest bull or the strongest zebra? No, they normally go for the smaller one. Is that fair? If we think of our spiritual walk, is it fair when the devil attacks us, the spiritually strong or weak one, if we're going through a tough time? Is it fair? No, it's not fair, but does he do it? Yes, he does do it. So for us, it's just important to understand that there is a devil and he walks around like a lion. Amen. But this scripture says, but resist him, firm in your faith. Now, okay, I'm going to skip all this stuff now. And I'll come back to that whole resisting thing right at the end of our sermon. I just wanted to make that clear, that we must understand that the devil is out to get us. The devil is out. If you're the only one saved in your family, you're constantly praying for him, he's going to attack in those areas. And I'm not speaking things into being here. I'm just saying that's how it works. Okay? I've seen it in my life now, in all my family, they believe. But the devil attacks sometimes the weakest link, the youngest Christian or the one with the least faith. And we need to be alert like the scripture says. Amen. Are you with me? All right. Now I just want to look at a few characters of a lion. All right. Now we've dealt with Scar. Scar was the bad one. Now we're going to Mufasa. Okay. You know, my joke's so useless this morning. I must Google some jokes and I must read them every now and then. Okay, the first thing, character of a lion, is a lion is strong. Amen. Yeah, we know that. Proverbs 30 verse 30. Lion, and this morning when I shared about these characters, remember that God wants us to be exceptionally courageous or brave, lion-hearted. So God wants these characters in our lives. And that doesn't mean we go tomorrow and we all apply for a gym enrollment so that we can get muscles. That's not the strong I'm talking about. That's naturally strong. Some might have to go to the gym. Some just have to surf. But I'm speaking about spiritually. Okay? Spiritually, we must be strong. Spiritually, God wants us to be strong. Amen. So we're not dealing in the natural here. We're not going to fight with people on the streets. We're going to fight with the devil. Amen. Proverbs 30, verse 30, the lion which is mightiest among beasts. And turn not back before any. Mightiest among beasts. Does not turn back before any. Joshua 1 verse 7. This is the whole theme thing that we're busy dealing with in Shofar is this Joshua thing. Okay, I don't want to mention the same things over and over again. But here in Joshua 1 verse 7, just before Joshua takes his people, it says, and not only in this specific verse, in a few other verses, God says, only be strong and very courageous. That's almost exactly like the definition of being lion-hearted. Be exceptionally courageous or brave. And God says to Joshua, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And something I just want to share with you, and I've realized in my life that God is speaking to me on a different level almost. Now, and I'm not trying to be spooky spiritual here, but I believe if you tune your ear into God at this moment in time, if you want to move with Him, He's speaking to you a little bit differently. He's not like He's not speaking like you must sort out that sin, and I want you to pray. And I want you to read your word. God is speaking on a bit of a different level. And He's putting things out there and says, well, for me, it is, I want you to, that's what I want you to accomplish. And many times nowadays, I just feel these things are always a bit bigger than who we are. Amen? And that might be different things for different people in church. And for you personally, I would encourage you to go and listen to what God is telling you. Because it will be something that challenges you a little bit. And God says, just be strong and be courageous. Go for it. And for many, it might be a place of a bit of discomfort. Are you with me? Because if you look at that whole process of them going through the river, it's not what we're used to, God. We were used to doing stuff like this for 40 years now. And it worked. Manna fell out of the heaven. We had something to eat. Why do we have to go now? Manna stops. It is the promised land, but it's different. And so I believe that for many of us, there's a place of a few things, and you must really tune your ears into God because He's going to tell you different stuff, and He's going to say, I want you to do that. And through people praying for you, prophesying over you, it might sometimes, I remember the first time somebody prayed for me, or not the first time, but I was completely spiritually clueless. At least I was saved, but they were praying these massive prophetic things over me. You're going to be this and that. And I thought, whoa, do you know me? You don't know me. Do you know who I am? I can't do all these things. But for many of us, I think we're at that stage where it's like, wow, me? Do that? Be strong and very courageous. Amen. And something that in leadership, and I'm talking to small group leaders here, this morning is that we must also trust God that new believers that come in now, I don't know how it's going to work. I know it's going to work, but they're going to have to take a few massive leaps with us. And I know that in the natural, I don't always know how this is about or should happen, but we can trust God that the people that come in, the people that do accept Jesus Christ, they're going to have to take a few massive leaps with us. And maybe that's the best because I guess somebody that knows nothing and comes to God, for them, one step or 10 steps, it's faith. They just need to do it. But I just wanted to throw that in there. We must trust God that some people will just have to take in their lives a few issues be dealt with at the same time. Amen. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Okay, the next one, and this is this is important also. What another characteristic of a lion? Now, I can explain this to you via a real life experience that I had. Who of you have ever seen a lion, touched a lion? Not the little teddy bear things. The real lion. Okay, I didn't touch it, but we went to this game farm. You know, they have them here in Namibia, and then they block off, luckily, the lions with these massive fences. Now, we knew there were lions here, and there's this big fence. But all of a sudden, I don't know if we saw the lion or didn't see the lion, but he came running at us. Now, he can actually do nothing. He cannot get through that fence. But we started running in exactly the opposite direction. Now, yeah, that was a bit of an experience. I don't know what we expected, if he's going to barge through, tear the fence open. But when that thing runs at you, especially the male with all those, what is it, manhara? Mane. It's a scary thing. And I guess they probably stalked us. You know, it's like he's still there and he's quiet, and then all of a sudden he's on you. I mean, that character of, now we can, of stalking, of prowling, of looking for something to catch. And in that same way, it can work. The devil is like that. The devil tries to catch you on your weakest point. But I believe that God wants to take us as believers to a place like that. Amen. I'm ahead of myself. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. You know, a lion does not walk next to the zebra and they chill out and then all of a sudden he kills him. You know, that lion, they don't walk together. It's like he stalks him. It can be a leopard, it can be a cheetah, everything. It's a process of stalking, and it's an element of surprise. Then he catches him. Amen. And the devil would want to do that to us. But I think that God wants to get us to a place where we do that to him. Are you with me? You know, so many of us, we talk about my family and they're not getting saved. But we don't have a strategy. We don't have a plan in place. How are we going to get them? And I know, I must admit, I mean, no families are perfect. And sometimes you pray and you want this to happen and then exactly the opposite happens. And it surprises you. And you're like, Lord, I prayed for this for a whole week. Why did this happen? I was praying for my husband and he reacted in the same way. But I think we can get to a place where even when that reaction comes, we've prayed through it. We've seen it. We've strategized. We know what to do next. Are you with me? Is somebody seeing what I'm saying here? Matthew 10 verse 16. This scripture, I still don't understand it completely. And I've been thinking about it for a year now, but I'm starting to see something. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. There's also a scene in Braveheart. Once again, I go back to my movie, Braveheart, where when they, right in the beginning, it's not the same scene. I know I've mentioned this scene so many times, but there's one right in the beginning when they're about to fight these German Germanic barbarians. We have some Germans here. the barbarians. They did originate there from Germany, by the way. But don't worry, Holland is just next to it, and that's apparently where I come from. But who knows where I come from. Anyway, my story. Oh, so they were busy preparing there for war. And the barbarians going crazy. And in front they have the archers. But Maximus goes with his horses, the cavalry, at the back. And they're waiting there. And then he gives these... Huh? Oh, yeah. That is Gladiator. It is Gladiator. You're right. We can talk about Braveheart, but I don't have a story about that. Braveheart. Gladiator. Anyway, so they go at the back with the cavalry, and he gives his troops a little speech there. a nice little speech and they're having a joke and they're having a great time because he knows the enemy doesn't even know where we are now. They think we're there. We are there, but half of us is here. We're going to come from the back. We're going to surprise them. That's how we're going to win this war. It's a surprise element. It's like a lion. He doesn't walk next to the zebra. He has a strategy and plan. He walks and he crawls. And so what happens in that scene? They win the battle. But they're ahead of the enemy. They're thinking ahead. They're strategically ahead of the enemy. And I, for goodness sakes, want to get to the place where church stops playing catch-up, like I said so many times, where we, for a change, when some other bar opens up in Swakopmund or whatever, we're not fazed by it. We're actually ahead of you, devil. Open your little bar. It's fine. We know what to do. We've been praying around that block. We've been anointing that place. That thing's going to fall. We know what's going to happen. Amen. But we always like, oh, a bar opens. Or whatever, you know. There's also a beach bar. I go there sometimes because it's nice. So I'm not trying to be religious here. Well, let's call it the, what do they call it? The Gull's Cry. Let's not call it the beach bar. Amen. But for us to be in a church, you individually, at school, when that teacher comes against you again in the same way, and the maths is difficult again in the same way, that you've just prayed about it, you've had a plan and a strategy in place, and the enemy does not surprise you anymore. You surprise him. Families. Amen. I think God wants us to get to that place. But how can you get to that place? That is only through a deep relationship with God, but specifically the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you. You know, the Holy Spirit will, in many times, we, like me, I will try and fix things in the natural. You know, this happens. I think Jankor calls me a manager or what, something. I always fix stuff in the natural. Because I'll think, okay, we need 5,000 bucks. We only got 4. So let's worry or whatever. But in the spiritual, God wants to speak to us. And he would say, do it like this. Do it like that. Amen. I think I've said enough about this. God wants us to get from a place where we react, where we are proactive. We act before the thing happens. So next time your dad manifests in that way, you're like, I've prayed about this. I know what's going to happen next. I know what to say now. I'm not going to react also and make the whole thing a bigger mess. I know what to say. Amen. So, the element of surprise. We must stalk the enemy. We must get to the place where he does not stalk us, surprises us all the time. Amen. Then the third one. I'm preaching too quickly here. What am I going to do? Well, the third one, and it's, nobody wants to open windows, so I'll just sweat. Thanks, Carol. The third one is, and this is important, amen. A lion is destructive. Now, I looked on internet, Google. People, I don't know what I'll do without Google. I'll be boring without Google. But a lion's bite, just to give you some background info, per square centimeter, that's that big. Okay? Guess how much weight is on that if he bites. Guess how much? How many kilograms? On a little square like this. So if I stand on my toe like this. Apparently around about 80 kilograms on that. So imagine his whole mouth is around you. Can you imagine that? So every square centimeter there's 80 kilograms on it. So it's powerful. It's destructive. They say when that lion, normally if a lion would slap you, it can easily just break your neck. I've seen, when I was next, there was a calmer lion, also, which we could actually touch. It wasn't that fierce thing that was running and attacking us. But that thing's paws is massive, man. It's strong. If that thing smacks you against the neck, it just, hey, it just cracks your neck. It will break it. But it's destructive. And the enemy wants to be destructive. But Ezekiel 22 verse 25. There is a conspiracy of the prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in the midst of her. Isaiah 13 verse 8. I will encounter them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chests. There I will also devour them like a lioness, as a wild beast would tear them. Now, spiritually, You can be on the receiving end of this destruction. But you could also be on this, on the end where you dish out the instruction, the destruction into the spiritual realm, where you tear down things, where we as a church start operating where we should be, and that is we stop reacting and trying to fix stuff that the devil has destroyed, but we start destroying these strongholds. Amen. The next scripture then. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 to 5. And if God, like Janko's sermon last week, if we can start seeing us ourselves as lions, we must start thinking in this direction. What does God mean? What does He want from us? This scripture, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, what? For the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is a powerful scripture. This is how God wants us to operate. Destruction of fortresses, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. What are these lofty things? Because it sounds lofty. What are these lofty things? What are these high strongholds that we're speaking? We're speaking about spiritual strongholds. The reason why the millions of people are not getting coming to Jesus Christ is not because He does not love them. There is a barrier. Like the word says, there are scales on their eyes and they don't see it. Shame. Gerrit, as you wegblaas, moet jy maar toemaak dan. And they don't see it. And who needs to break down those strongholds? We do, but through God's power. And if I can just take them from a high level downwards, because I want to, if we look at countries, countries have certain strongholds and certain things over them that need to be broken down. In a country like this, Dennis said the other day that there's a spirit of, I mean, this country has a long history of children growing up with without their parents. That's something that needs to be broken over this country. But you can pull it down. Then you can look at the country. Then you can look at the president and the parliament. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that the stuff they're talking about, and praise Jesus for our country. But I know it will come. I don't want it to come. But someday, like it's just happening exponentially in South Africa, they will want to question, should we allow abortion? Should we allow prostitution? What is happening there? Is that just a thought? No, that's a stronghold. That's a spiritual thing that needs to be destroyed there. You can bring it a level lower. Cities and towns have specific things. You can ask anybody that's been in Swakopmund for 30 years or whatever, that this place is quite a bit of a stronghold when it comes to Satanism. Okay? So I'm not worried about that. I'm not fazed about that, but I know that. And that's a thing that needs to be broken down. And who's going to do it? We're going to do it. We have to do it. God is giving us the mandate to do that. Then you can bring it down a little bit. Churches. There's assignments from the devil that comes against us. You can draw it back a little more. Family. What are the things that the devil wants in your family? What is the thing that has been passed on generationally? Somebody needs to cut off and say, no longer in my family. And then it can be your... You can bring it right back to your life. But there are levels and things, lofty, high things that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And those things must be brought into the obedience of Jesus Christ. They must be destroyed. And I'm excited because I think we should, and our intercession is cool. It's working. But somewhere we're going to have to start doing marches, whatever, and anoint places, certain places. But just start getting the imbalance of the devil and God, getting it this way. Just start pulling it over the other side. And it will not happen if we don't take those things captive. If we don't start destroying those things. Amen. In the hostel that these poor kids live in, how many demonic manifestations haven't they told me that happened there? Are they stupid? Are they weird? Are they confused? Mad? No, they're not mad. It's stuff happening there. And we need to break those things. We have prayed there already. Amen. And even over families. You know, yeah, okay, I can't, if you do Foundation 3 and 4 one day with us, there are lots of things that can be passed on through families and that needs to be cut off. And we can trust God that we don't just pray, oh Lord, heal my family, get them saved. You know, those prayers are not so effective, but you can see, oh, that's the thing. That's the stronghold. And you can start praying into that area. You can start breaking that thing down. Amen? Okay, lekker. The next one. Now, don't shout out the answer, but just think a little bit. What's the picture you get when I talk about boldness? A bold Christian. Now, for some of you, it might be a bad thing. It might be that one screaming with the Bible in the corner. Okay, but don't tell me what boldness is. But I'm just going to tell you that boldness, a lion is bold, isn't it? Well, this is what the scripture says. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, boldness is not arrogance, okay? Boldness is not... Yeah, I just need to say this over and over again because sometimes one can see stuff on TV and anything. And you know what? Some unbelievers look at that and they say... Well, maybe they associate, they think that's what Christian boldness should be. But it's not always the case, okay? Sometimes we lose it. But I'm talking about bold in the spirit. God wants us to be bold in the spirit. Let me give you a little example. Oh, Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of what I believe, of what I think, and what God has done in my life. Because I know it's the power of God. One day I want my child that if he sits in school and somebody teaches him about evolution, he must be like, okay, I know that's not true. He doesn't even have to disagree with the teacher right there, but I just want him to have that boldness that what I'm believing is the truth. What I have is the truth. Somebody can come at me with evolution, it won't faze me. And if you have to open your mouth to some teacher, you know, well, just do it in a godly manner or whatever. But I'm not talking about you with disagreeing with everybody and going into pubs and saying, turn or burn, that stuff. That's not boldness. I remember one day we went to a braai. Does anybody know, everybody understand braai? I thought we might have some overseas people. That's like a barbecue, okay? We had a barbecue with lots of unbelievers there. Very sinful people. And they were doing all the things that people do in the world. But I could not wait for somebody to find out that I'm a pastor. I didn't want to say it, and I don't want to make a big scene out of it. But I couldn't wait that somebody just, and not even that, I didn't want them to know that, and oh, now they're all too holy because the pastor is here. So we blended in. We blended in there, we looked normal, and we didn't have crosses or stuff like that, and Bibles. And look at the scripture, why are you doing this? So I was waiting for the opportunity. And I'm really, nowadays, that's the kind of boldness I have. And I'm not arrogant. It's just I was hoping that somebody would ask me, so what do you believe? Or what do you believe about this? And it happened. And I was so blessed by it. And it's not like I condemned him. We had a nice conversation about this and about christening babies or baptizing, whatever. And it was awesome. But I was waiting for that moment. I was excited. Please ask me. And Pastor Fred also said they're now praying in their, around their neighborhood. And one guy that's never spoken to him came to him and said, what do you believe? And you know, we as Christians should want those moments. We should, please Lord, let somebody ask me. That is, you know, and then we're bold enough to say what we believe. And we're sometimes bold enough to disagree when we should be disagreeing. If somebody wants to bring in abortion into this country, I am going to have to say something, unfortunately. I might have to draw up a petition. I don't like petitions because they get emailed to you like 20 times a day. But anyway, are you with me? Bold. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 8. And I'm just trusting God that, and I know, because when we get saved and you're just a Christian from the beginning, a young one, then you don't know if, and I remember one of the things that I struggled with is this evolution creation thing really true? Because, I mean, put on the TV, National Geographic, what do they teach? What do they preach? they preach it. They preach evolution at us. Books bombarded at us. So that was my life. You know, I got this. I went through biology in school, and now I thought, now they want to tell me, because we've learned all about this evolution, and now they want to tell me that God did this all in 7 days. It was a bit difficult for me to understand. But once I accepted it with my mind, and I looked at it with an objective view, and I thought, well, yeah, this is it. Now I'm not ashamed of that anymore. Now I can be bold about that. Amen. So for some of us, we might be in a place where we just lack some of that boldness to speak of what we believe. Amen. But I want to encourage you this morning. Don't be bold. Trust God to give you that boldness to speak. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice or craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. We've got two dogs, big one, small one. They say the small one is a dackle, but there's something mixed there. So now, what I just want to explain to you what this cowardice, cringing, fawning fear means. Now, the big one, if you spank him, he takes it like a man, because he is a man. And then he goes on with life. Okay, but this little one, it irritates me. It's not like I torture the little thing, but when I give him a smack, it's like, it's all this, it's like I'm torturing. If somebody would see me, they think I torture this little dog. But it's just, that's coward. You know, it's like, and God doesn't want us to have that kind of a spirit, like, he wants us to have a spirit of, what does it say here? The power and love, calm and well-balanced mind. So when you're at that braai and somebody asks you about baptism, you're not like, what? Where's the toilet? No, you can actually say something, okay? And you don't... Amen. All right. Is it almost time for me? I would like the worship team, I'll tell you when, but can we play that last song again? But I'll tell you when. Is it fine? Okay. Okay. Let's just look at the last few scriptures. Genesis 49, verse 8 to 12. Because the greatest deception that we can walk out here with is that we are strong and we can be strong. We can only be strong and courageous and like a lion because God is like one. Genesis 49, verse 8 to 12. Judah, your brother, shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you've gone up. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. You must look at the scripture. It's prophetic. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Of who are they speaking here? Verse 11 and 12. He ties his fowl to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in blood of grapes. His eyes are dull from wine and his teeth white from milk. That verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And then I want to go to Revelation 5 verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals. That scripture in Genesis, it speaks prophetically of Jesus Christ coming, and in Revelation 5, it speaks of Jesus Christ, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. God is lion-hearted. God has that character. And God wants to fight on our behalf. And only when you draw close to God, we also had this vision, then the enemy will start seeing you. If you put on Christ, I'm going ahead of myself, but if you submit to God, the devil sees you as a lion as well. The devil sees you as somebody great and big that he doesn't want to mess with. Genesis 49 verse 10. I just want to read that same scripture from the Amplified. The scepter of leadership shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh. It speaks there of leadership and ruling. God wants us to come to a place where we lead and we rule our I don't want to call it atmosphere, but our sphere of influence. And we must trust God that we get out of this mentality of being attacked constantly and being, we are under attack, but we must change this thing. God really wants us to be the one in charge. God wants you as a husband to be in charge of your house. And there might be some things that come against you, but I want to encourage you this morning. If you stand close to God, you can speak to those things. You can lead and you can rule. Amen? We must start taking, the worship team can come up. We must start taking lead in our family. If you're a small group leader and you won for a week now and you're overwhelmed, I want to encourage you, you can take charge of that situation. You can take charge over those people's spiritual lives there. You can start speaking blessing into them. If you're in charge of the church or whatever, we can start doing that. But how do we do that? That very first scripture that I read, where it speaks of the lion roaring and prowling, it says, but resist him. Now I want to read to you James 4 verse 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There are two things that we need to do. And that one, it's not going to the gym. It's not trying to be strong and big. The first one is we must submit to God. What does all of this mean? How do you submit to God? It means you just obey God. You just do what he asks you to do. But more than that, it's a place in our lives where we come, where we surrender. We say, Lord, I submit under you. I'm not in charge, you're in charge. And even further than that, it's a place of worship where we come to God and we say, Lord, I worship you for who you are. Because the devil hates that. He wants you to come at him personally and try and attack him. Can I promise you, you will lose. But if he sees that you submit under God, he starts getting afraid. Because now he's not dealing with you anymore. He's dealing with God. He's dealing with the lion of the tribe of Judah. Can you see it? And then the second one is we must resist. And I want to encourage some of you here this morning that you might go through a dip or a place or an addiction or whatever that you just don't seem to get through. I want to challenge you here this morning. If you come to God as the lion, if you come to God, the one that speaks into that situation and breaks down that fortress, that stronghold, he can do it. Because you know why the devil wants to keep you there? Because then you can't operate in that same spirit. He keeps you entangled because then you can't speak to other strongholds. You can't take charge over certain areas. If he can keep you there where you think you're a kitten and not a lion, that's exactly what he wants. But if you can start speaking into your things and your family, then you can start operating in that. Amen. Okay, let's stand and let's sing that next song. And I'll just, right at the end, I'll just pray for us. Just want to read this one last scripture, Galatians 3 verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. This morning, if you feel exposed or like you're not in charge, while we sing this song, it does speak of baptism and then we're clothed with Christ. But just clothe yourself with Christ here again this morning. Put on Christ. Because then you can be aligned. Then you can speak into those areas of your life. Put on Christ. Amen. Let's sing that last one.
Save me, how great is our God.
Just play softly in the background here. I want to make just an altar call here for some of you that we really want to pray with you now. If you're experiencing, like I said right in the beginning, that the enemy comes at you, but you want to just push through. We just want to pray lots of boldness and courage over you this morning. So if you feel like that, just quickly come forward, and all the elders and so on, can you just come and help me pray? If you feel like that, just come forward. We're going to pray for you. And then I just want to make another. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, we really want to make that first opportunity available to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, it starts with a relationship with Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ yet, please come forward. And if somebody prays for you, then tell him you want to accept Jesus Christ. You've never done it. You want to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and we'll pray for you. So I just want to close off now, but I know there are people here that need some ministry, and we just want to trust God that He blesses you. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You as we go away now, Lord, that we will ponder on this word, and that we will really, when we look in the mirror, we will see Jesus. We will see You. And I pray that You will bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.